Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
So this morning, we are continuing our 21 days, and I hope you've been watching the videos and keeping up to pace with that, entering in. So this is week three, and you know, we've been talking about community and what it means to be a people, what it means to be a community together. And last week, Aaron spoke on entering into community, dealing with things that stop us, the shame and the disappointment and things like that. And so this morning, I want to continue on this theme and talk about staying in community and committing to community and what it really means to be a part of the people of God. And in that, I was drawn immediately. My mind went to Hebrews 10, of course, a famous verse. But we'll read here this morning. We'll start with a reading of Scripture, Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Starts at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. So I have some thoughts on these last few verses. I'm indebted to Craig Kester from the Anchor Bible Commentary. I tell you what, the more I use them, the more I like them. Anchor Bible Commentary. Not everyone's cup of tea, I'm sure, but for me, it really is special. Special place in my heart. Can you say that about a commentary series? I can. So that first, let's just break these verses down a little bit and just dig in. The author says, let us consider how to provoke or spur one another. So the word provoke or spur was sometimes used positively and sometimes used negatively. The one time that it is used negatively is in Acts 15, describing the sharp contention that broke out between Paul and Barnabas when they could not agree on taking Mark with them. Are you familiar with that story? Well, that same word, provoke, is used there to describe a fairly severe disagreement. A disagreement that broke out between Paul and Barnabas and was not resolved. Or was resolved, they agreed to disagree, I guess. So it's really interesting because the author of Hebrews, I think he stimulates our thinking, he gets our attention by putting a word that's often used with negative connotations to positive use. And I would suggest here he's emphasizing an active or intentional role rather than a more passive one. So when he says provoke or spur, it's like he's saying, get into each other's lives. Don't just stand back. Don't just be an observer. Don't just give advice. Care. Care. Paul and Barnabas, I mean, they had a sharp disagreement because they cared. They cared about each other. In this case, they couldn't agree, but by goodness, they cared. And what I take from this is, you know, consider how to provoke one another, how to get into each other's lives. If you're in community and you see your brother or sister in sin or struggling, care. Do something about it. Be provoked to get involved in their life. I think in our culture, we have much more of a, well, I guess some people do, some people don't, but more of a, not my problem. Might talk about you when you're not in the room, but generally not my problem. Good content for gossip, but not interested in intervening. None of us do that, of course. That's just, I hear some people do that. I don't know. Could be true, could be not. It has happened before. But I like the intentionality that the author is speaking in there. He's saying, provoke one another towards love and good deeds. Provoke one another. Get involved in each other's lives, even when it's a little bit spiky or a bit contentious or uncomfortable. Shows you care. But of course, it's done in love and towards love. So he says, towards love and good deeds. And of course, when he's talking about love in this context, it's not simply an emotion. Unlike a lot of the ways love is thought about in today's culture, yesterday was Valentine's Day. Love is a lot more than Valentine's Day. It involves care for others. If Hebrews 6:10 talks about that. It involves getting involved in strangers' lives and helping the afflicted. Hebrews 13:1-3 says this, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So he's now going to define what he means by love. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in the prison. That's actually mercy, walking in someone's shoes, putting yourself in someone's shoes. And those who mistreated you as if you yourselves were suffering. Mercy again, put yourself in their shoes. And Hebrews 13:16 says this, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So the author of Hebrews is getting really practical about what love looks like. Love is in action. It takes action. It cares. It steps out of comfort zones and it steps into the breach. It steps into the uncomfortable and into the needy. The places of people's need. So that's towards love and good deeds. And the next thing he says, not giving up meeting together. Not giving up, or another way you could say that is, and I think this is closer to the Greek, is not abandoning. In one sense, abandoning the Christian assembly means no longer attending its gatherings. But this word has much more to it than that. It actually implies leaving something vulnerable because you have withdrawn from it. Isn't that incredible? That a non-attendance as abandonment, the author is talking about the urgency of the current situation, that for people to remain strong in their commitment to their local community. I'll talk more about this later, but I found that fascinating. This word abandon has connotations of if you abandon something, it's in a weaker state because you're not there. It's so much more than just choosing not to attend. It's saying that you're missed in a profound and I think strategic way. That as we talk and think about Christian community, we need to think about that. I said I'd get back to it later, so I'm not going to do it now. That's called discipline right there. See, that's what I do. I get ahead of myself, start going on about something, knowing that it's later in my notes. And then when I come to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've already done that. And then there's an awkward pause as I try and work out what to do. But we're not doing that today. It's very good. Don't know why I'm telling you all about it. So anyway, this idea of abandonment, to me, that's this language I feel is loaded with just richness when it talks about community. And then that word, you know, do not abandon or do not give up meeting together. This word, and I am going to speak out a Greek word right now, mostly for my own benefit. But I feel it is also loaded. It's epi-synagoge. Epi-synagoge. So that's where we get the word synagogue from. But this is a verb, epi. And this prefix epi actually gives, it's talking about a location or a sense of something. And of course, synagogue, gathering place, meeting place. So we can unpack this word in three different ways. One is a local connotation. So the people who are meeting are going to a place, a local place. There's a place they have to meet together. But it also has what we call eschatological connotations. So it's talking about the end times. There's this idea in Scripture of an end time banquet. In eternity, there's a coming together. That Jesus said from the east to the north, the south, the west, they're going to come together and they're going to banquet. So there's a sense in this word of, and it's reinforced by the language at the end, as you see the day approaching. That's eschatological language. So our gathering together is important on practical levels, but it's also a demonstration. You are a living demonstration of what is coming. Have you thought about that? When you're meeting in your small groups, in your table communities, in your friendship groups, you are demonstrating the time to come. When people will come together, when they will feast, when they will enjoy each other's company in a whole different level. So it's an anticipation of the final ingathering of God's people. And this assembly, you and I, we are the earthly counterpart to the heavenly congregation of God's people. This is happening in the now and is going to come in the future. And the third connotation is social. So the word synagogue often designated Jewish gatherings and is a calling, and calling a Christian gathering an epi-synagoge may reflect the church's continuity with Israel's heritage. So there's that, I believe the author picked that word because it's a connection point with what we call the Old Testament or the Jewish Bible. There's that continuity as well. So that word, a special word, I think, and loaded with revelation, insight and richness. And finally, he says, but encouraging one another. Two Greek words. Parakaleo, to encourage. Where have we seen that before? But those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, that's ikodomi, which is related to the word ikos, is a building. So it's strengthening, but it's, you know, sometimes you hear that said as edifying or strengthening or building up. So the word literally has the word house in it or building in it. Encouragements, that's a parakaleo, and comfort. This is encouragement. And of course, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, specifically 12, 13, and 14, Paul is talking a lot about a culture of encouragement. Specifically in that context, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul goes on in those texts to say that prophecy spoken in love brings encouragement, strengthening, upbuilding, edification, whatever you want. So we're going to connect this morning, Hebrews 10, to 1 Corinthians. So remember that according to Hebrews 10, just put that on pause. In Hebrews 10, we are exhorted to spur and provoke one another on towards love and good deeds. We are not to give up meeting together, but in our meeting together, we're to encourage one another. And Paul talks about prophecy given without love, or encouragement. You could take this as an encouragement without love. If I have the gift of prophecy but do not have love, I am nothing. And then he says, knowledge puffs up while love builds up. There's that word again, ikodomi, which is about building up. It's about edifying, strengthening. So following Paul along in this idea of encouragement, I came up with this phrase yesterday. What does love look like in this economy of encouragement and edification? Now, you can use the word economy to mean system, not just financial system, but there's a broader definition. In case you're not comfortable with that, you could try ecosystem, an ecosystem of encouragement and edification. I myself, I'm settling on economy because I like the sound of it. What is this economy of encouragement and edification? What is this world Paul is talking about? What does it mean to live in a community of encouragers who are choosing to get involved in each other's lives, to step in and encourage? And, you know, our encouragement even can be a little bit spiky. It can get in to the uncomfortable parts of our brothers and sisters' lives. We can care to the point that we'll step in past their maybe past your level of comfortability, but also theirs, provoked by love. But what does it look like? Paul, give us a description of what this ecosystem, this economy looks like. And Paul says, I'm on it. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. What a beautiful description of this economy of encouragement, of this ecosystem of encouragement. Brothers and sisters meeting together, encouraging, spurring one another on. How are they doing that? That way. That's the blueprint. That is the description of Christian community. Some of you might be thinking, that's idealized. Yeah, I get it. You know, one day we will see perfection, but not now. But we press on and we press into it and we see more and more. This is the love that God desires, even demands. I have to move on past desire because desire makes it sound like there's optionality there. There is no option. This is the life we're called to. Of course, we're not striving for it on our own. Paul says that the Spirit, the pneuma, will be poured out, be poured into your heart to the point of overflowing. And then it'll be not your strength, but His strength moving through you. A supernatural ability to love, greater than anything you can summon in yourself. And you're not called to strive, to push, to make it happen. You're called to sit back, rest in His presence and receive, and then from there, go. It's the ones who dwell in the presence of God that get filled with His Spirit, that start to sort of leak out this love. I feel like 1 Corinthians 13 is essentially a description of Spirit-empowered community life. This is the life we're called to do. This is the life we're empowered to do. And this is the life that God is looking for in us. If we abandon meeting together, we are forsaking experiencing this love. You love this love. Deep down inside, you crave this love. Yet the reality is you are constantly tempted to abandon that which keeps you safe, which keeps you full of life, flourishing, confident, full of hope and encouraged. We are battling with this stuff. There is a war happening. You are being constantly tempted to abandon. Sometimes you could ask, well, why? What's at stake? I just read what's at stake. And my goodness, that must be terrifying to the enemy. A people that love like that. A people that love like that could do anything, could go anywhere, could be anyone. But we need to understand that there's a lot at stake and that there's a battle happening. A battle to keep us away, a battle to keep us from being committed, a battle that, you know, the temptation to say, you know what, I'm not going to step into that anymore. And I think the context in Hebrews 10 is important to keep in mind. Oops. Hebrews 10, 32. This is the context that the author was dealing with in those days. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were being so treated. You showed mercy. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. So the local authorities turned up and dispossessed people of everything because of their religio, because of the religion they followed. Because you knew that, you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. That's the context. That's the life that people in this community were dealing with. So you can understand why some of their members were like, you know what? I think I'll stop going for a while. This is getting too hot to handle. Important to be reminded of what the context was that the author was dealing with. But we need to ask the question, how are we in 2026 in Sydney, what does it look like for us to be tempted to abandon community? I've written a list. You could add many more things to it. This is where I went and, you know, obviously ran out of oomph after a while. Fear of rejection, fear of being controlled, fear of being hurt. Of course, there's FOMO. Do people still say that anymore, or is that now old-fashioned? Fear of missing out. You know, we live in the swipe left culture. Oh, had enough of that, enough of that, enough of that, enough of that. Looking for better, there must be something better. I wonder if that's affected our ability to commit to Christian community. Because if I commit to you guys, what if this just, I mean, in my imagination, what if this happens? That 2 months later, the really cool guys set up a home group. And I'll like be committed here. And then I'm like, well, now I can't go there. Or maybe I can, but it'll be stretching my time. I know it's funny. Well, I thought it was funny. You didn't laugh, but that's okay. It's the grass is always greener mentality. That I don't want to put my roots down here because what if something better turns up? Have you ever been on the fringes of watching a group of teenagers try and work out what to do for the day? And they're all texting each other and they're all worried that if they commit to something, when something better might come up. It doesn't happen, it's just in your imagination, it's okay. Another thing is maybe physical or emotional exhaustion. Maybe that keeps people away. Could be that. If that is you, I want to challenge you, I want to provoke, I want to get a little bit spiky with you. What's behind that? What choices have been made? What situations are you in? I know some of you might feel like, no, I'm trapped. Pray about that. Ask people for help. It just doesn't sound healthy to me that you can't have community. You can't have Christian community because you've got no space at all. Like, seriously, your life is being harmed, I believe, by not being apart because of abandoning community. You know, if you abandon community, you are robbing community because God has put things in you for others. And I'm not talking about 5 minutes after church. I mean, I'm talking about doing life sort of community, where people know what's going on in your life, where people contact you and, yeah, how's your day going and how did that thing work out? And how did it go at the doctor last week? And yeah, that sort of community I'm talking about. If you're not a part of that, someone is being robbed of what you have inside you, because God has planted in you solutions, wisdom, insights for other people. I know some of you are like, nah, not me. I beg to differ. I'm going to get spiky with you. I made this word spiky up just now, right? I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get a little uncomfortable with you and say, I don't believe you. I believe that you do have something to offer. Someone's convinced you that you don't. And you're wrong, because you do have something to offer. And whilst you resist being a part of a Christian community, you're believing that lie and you're agreeing with it that there's nothing for you to offer. It's just not true. The Bible says that it's not true. You have every good and perfect gift flowing down from the Father of heavenly light right now, flowing into your heart. He's a gracious God, which means, it actually means that there's gifts flowing out of him all the time. If you're in terms of like first century Mediterranean culture, if you're a gracious person, if you stand next to me, if I'm a gracious person, gifts are coming. Gifts are coming. I'm gonna give stuff to you because I'm a gracious person. That's why James says that he's the father of heavenly lights. And then there's a cascading down of good gifts because he's a gracious person. So when a gracious person turned up to your village in countryside, Mediterranean, something, whatever, gifts would start to be given out. Can you imagine how excited the villagers were that this rich dude who's got a reputation for being gracious turned up? Would you want to be there? Would you do what you can to be there? Of course you would. Because this guy's got a reputation. If you hang around him, gifts start to flow. That's our God. Isn't that beautiful? You hang around him, the gifts are going to flow. He's going to start speaking stuff into your life and like pulling out all this stuff. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? It came from him, of course, because he's the author of all these things. Every good and perfect gift is flowing down. Just be around him and you will be wealthy. You will have this love that we've been reading about. It will flow out of you because he's gracious. And we are called to be gracious as well. See, the more time you hang around with your Heavenly Father and he's just pouring in these gifts, it's just getting to the point where you're like, I got to give some of this away too. I'm so infected, so infused with his goodness, and it's just overloading me. I've hit capacity. My battery's like hovering around 100%. It's going to blow. I got to get rid of some of this stuff. So we go into Christian community and we give from what we've received. I think that's true. So we in Sydney, you know, we're dealing with all this stuff, fear of rejection, fear of being hurt, fear of being controlled. And if we give into it, we can just be like, you know what? I'm better on my own. I'm better on my own. And so we come into this, I had that written for a slide. You can read it there. I came up with this thing about isolation. And these are not professional sort of psychology terms. This is stuff I made up in my study yesterday. Isolation, self-protection versus vulnerability, embracing long-term community. Because if you're going to embrace community, it means you're going to be vulnerable to other people. Because if you go into Christian community and you're not vulnerable, it's just going to be a bit weird. You need to open your heart and let others in. So as we look at this isolation versus vulnerability, I just wrote a few of these things down. Isolation, low chance of someone hurting you, low chance of being rejected, low chance of being controlled. But if you embrace vulnerability, if you embrace long-term community, high chance that someone will eventually hurt you. high chance of experiencing some level of perceived rejection, some chance of perhaps getting stuck in a conversation with a controlling person. Amen? None of you, that's right. Isolation, low chance of experiencing personal growth, low chance of developing long-term friendships, high chance of long-term loneliness. Embracing long-term community, high chance of experiencing long-lasting, deep personal growth. High chance of experiencing true, lasting, life-changing friendship. Beautiful stuff. There is a risk. You may get hurt. There may be road bumps ahead. There may be potholes. It may be difficult at times, but it's worth it. It's worth it. But what can happen to us is we become so focused on the potential for harm that we never get in the car. We never drive down that road. I want to encourage you. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you're struggling with this stuff, get help. See a therapist. Come to Healing Encounters on Tuesday night. Connect with a counselor. Do something about it. But do not let the lies dictate your future. Like our minds can blow these things up, that our fear of rejection becomes so big that we're paralyzed and we just can't do anything about it. My hint for the day, don't stay there. Do something about it. Oh, it's really painful. I'm really fragile. I understand as much as I can. But I encourage you, time is precious. Do something about it. Make a change. Make a change to commit to friendships. Make a change to commit to long-term Christian community. You know, spending time with people, opening your heart and life to others will expose your issues. And I think this is a big deal, you know, for people. You know, if you don't want to know what's really inside you, here's my advice. If you don't want to know what's really inside you, number one, don't get married. And number two, even bigger, definitely don't have kids. This is light humor, okay. And definitely don't have long-term close friendships, because your stuff will come out. That's what happens when human beings are close to each other. Your stuff comes up. But you know what? A famous person once said, it's better out than in. That's a Shrek comment. That's not in my notes, and I probably regret going there. You know, I'll finish off by saying this. Paul wrote these words about love in a community in the urban center of Corinth, a busy city where the majority of people lived in cramped tenement-style housing. So maybe four or five stories. Did you know the higher you went, the poorer you were, because the roof leaked? So literally, the higher you went, the more you were exposed to the elements. They were literally living on top of each other. So get your head around this. The most cramped, high-density apartment blocks you can think of, where there is literally almost no private space. These people are crammed in. They're living in this basically like a shanty town type of thing, tenement housing on top of each other. And Paul comes in and goes, "This is how you live. This is what love looks like. This is what a community looks like." And I'm thinking, Paul, are you nuts? Like, there's people fighting, arguing, probably violence on the streets, soldiers, people getting hurt, definitely plagues, typhoid, cholera, et cetera, breaking out, dead bodies, sewage, people selling stuff, people fighting, living on top of each other. And Paul comes in with this audacious claim that they will live a certain way. And I can imagine someone say, well, if I was there, I'd be like, are you kidding me? Can you not see what's going on here? How hard life is, how stressed we are, how we're like living on top of each other. There's like stuff coming through my roof that I don't even know what it is. And my kids are sick, and we're, we have no money to pay our rent. And our neighbors are noisy. And I have no personal space. And you're calling me to commit to living with these new brothers and sisters in this Christian community, and that's your expectation of how we'll live? And Paul says, absolutely. Be filled with the Spirit. Become a new person. Overflow in the goodness of God. Marinate in fellowship with the Father. And allow the love of God to flow in your heart and out of your heart. And be a people of love. It's a big call. I'm not saying it's easy from our point of view. Anyway, what I would like us to do, if we could have the keyboard player back up. We're going to have now a reflection time. And I want you to ask yourself, I know it's been quite rushed and you probably haven't had time to really process all the wonderful things I've brought to you this morning. But I want you to just take a couple minutes and ask yourself, where do you think you are on the isolation versus vulnerability scale? To what level are you still protecting your inner self? What would it look like for you to take the next step towards greater social vulnerability? What would it look like? Where am I at? And what would it look like? And I'm expecting God to speak into your heart and start speaking to areas of growth, speaking to challenges, speaking to, like, maybe God's going to get a little spiky with you and speak into your life about what he's calling you to, because he has a great plan. He has incredible love for you, incredible sort of expectations, because it's by his Spirit and not by your personal performance. So what does it look like? Where are you at the moment? And what is God calling you to take the next steps? Let's spend a couple of minutes just in silence, contemplating these things and asking God to speak to us. Spirit, enabling us to live lives beyond ourselves. We commit ourselves to you afresh and ask that you guide us, illuminate the path ahead, show us what to do with our stuff, show us what it's like to embrace community, to commit, to stay, to not abandon our brothers and sisters, but to be a source of life and to receive life. The power of your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite the prayer ministry team to come up right now. We always love to pray for people after the service. Well, really, it's the final part of our service, or one of the final parts. Our team have a few words of knowledge that they have been praying about this morning. One of them is one of our team got a sense that someone's having problems with their right knee, particularly the knee bone, the patella, and we really believe God wants to touch that this morning. Secondly, our team felt that Jesus said, "Come to me, those who feel heavily burdened." If you're feeling heavily burdened by whatever life has thrown at you this morning, we would love to pray for you. We really believe that God has an encounter for you and wants to bless you and lighten that burden. And number three, a fresh revelation of what we carry in Christ. If you feel like that's something that you need, a fresh revelation of what you carry in Christ, it's very pertinent to what I just talked about. You can come up as well. I also want to announce that on Tuesday night is our healing encounters time. And I tell you what, you will experience the community I've been talking about when you come on Tuesday night. Because these guys have been together, for some of them for years, praying together, seeking God together, doing life together. If you come on Tuesday night, you will be exposed to a wonderful community of loving people who will pray with you, who will lead you into an encounter with Jesus Christ. They will lead you to have an experience of His presence like perhaps you've never had before. And it will be in the context of loving community, of being led into the presence of your Heavenly Father. So if you have health issues, physically, emotionally, mental health issues, maybe just feeling burdened, feeling confused, strongly encourage you to come Tuesday night, 7 p.m., and enjoy a loving community that is there to support you, pray with you, and lead you into the presence of our King. Amen? So I really strongly encourage you to take that opportunity and experience the life that God has for you. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.